class or subject at school that you dreaded going to. Maybe you didn't get on with the teacher, or maybe you just didn't like that subject. I wonder if there was one particular subject that you didn't like going to. For me, it was woodwork. When I was in secondary school, the first 2 years, I dreaded going to the woodwork class. And there were reasons for that. One reason was that my brother John, who's 3 years older than me, he'd been a star pupil in the woodwork class. And so when I came into that class, the teacher had great expectations of me. And it wasn't long before he realized he had to adjust those expectations. Where my brother got 10 out of 10 as a matter of routine for anything he made, I would struggle to get 5 out of 10. And where the things my brother made were put on display or talked about, the things that I made, well, they were better hidden and forgotten. Well, what do you need to be good at woodwork? What do you need to be good at woodwork? You need the right tools, and you need the ability. And people who make a lot of things normally have a lot of tools. If you visit Martin and he lets you into his garage, you'll see that he's got lots of tools. And I think David is the same, and a few other people as well. Some people love making things, and they have lots of tools. And so we're thinking about tools and ability and making things. Well, here's a question for you. What is God in the business of making? What is God in the business of making? Say, God is in the business of making new creations. He's in the business of transforming the lives of individual people in a radical and lasting way. And that's a great work. And in fact, on a natural level, that's an impossible work, to change somebody in that way. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard its spots? And naturally, nobody can be changed in a radical way, in a transforming way. But that's what God is in the business of doing. And so we ask the next question. What tools will God use to do this great work? It's a great work to make a new creation. What are the tools that God will use to do this great work? Well, there are a few tools that he can use. We can say God is the God of creation. He is the God of creation. And we can say one of his tools is the fact that in creation we see a wonderful design and a wonderful order. And, you know, that can speak to a person. That can tell someone, look, there is a God. There is a purpose in life. There is a designer. Another tool that God has is that God is in control of all things, of all circumstances. And so he can control a person's circumstances. And he can speak to them through their circumstances. He might put them through very difficult circumstances in order to get their attention. And so that's another tool that God can use. And God can use us. God can use Christians as one of his tools to give someone a leaflet, to say something to someone, to live out the Christian life before someone. So these are some of the tools that God can use. But in all of these things, the outstanding tool that God uses to do his great work is his word. It's his word. It's the Bible. It's what we have before us. It's what we come to church and to Sunday school to learn about. It's his outstanding tool to do this great work of transforming the lives of people. And this evening I'd like us to consider some of the qualities of this tool. You know, different tools have different qualities. You can go to Wilco's and you can buy a drill probably for only about 10 or 12 pounds. But it might not be a very good quality drill, and it might only last you a few months. And so tools are graded according to their qualities. And I want us this evening just to think about some of the qualities of this tool that God has to transform the lives of individual people. And to do that, I'd like us just to think about one verse. And that one verse is in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 23. It's on page 689 in the church Bibles. Jeremiah chapter 23. And it's verse 29. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? So this verse is telling us something about the qualities of the tool that God uses to transform the lives of individual people. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? So the word of God, the Bible, is like a fire. What does fire do? What does fire do? Well, fire burns. Fire burns. And the word of God burns. The word of God burns. I say, well, that's a bit of a strange thing to say. We wouldn't really want the Bible to burn, would we? We don't want books to burn. Well, as always, the Bible is absolutely up to date. About 3 years ago, one of our neighbours borrowed a CD from us of some Christian music. And one day she said to Nicola with a smile on her face, "It's great, I'm going to burn it." And we thought, wow, we'd like it back. And of course what she meant was she was going to copy it onto another CD. And you know, the word of God can burn in the sense that it can be copied, it can be imprinted onto our hearts, can have an effect upon us. The word of God can burn within a person, can burn within you and within me. That was the experience of Jeremiah. If you just turn back one page to chapter 20 and verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. This was Jeremiah speaking. Then I said, "I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." Why not? Because of discouragement. Jeremiah was discouraged about the opposition, about the difficulty he was facing. But then what does he say? "But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not." The word of God burned in the heart of Jeremiah. It burned inside of him. And he couldn't ignore it. He couldn't escape from its grip. He couldn't hold it back. He couldn't keep silent. He had to speak, because the word was burning in his heart. Well, I wonder, have you felt the word of God burning in your heart, in your conscience? Has it had that kind of effect upon you? Don't ignore it. There's something living and powerful about this book, about the Bible. Daily fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ will increase the sense of burning in our hearts. I remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They met with the risen Lord Jesus, and he explained the scriptures to them. And after he left them, they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us as he explained the scriptures to us?" Did not our heart burn within us? How else can we get the word of God to burn within our hearts? Well, meditating on the Word of God, meditating on it, chewing it over, thinking about it, that will help to burn it into our hearts. Psalm 39 verse 3, my heart was hot within me. While I was musing or while I was meditating, the fire burned. So it's as we think about the Word of God, as we reflect upon it, as we just chew it over in our minds, it's then that it will burn within us. It's then that it will have an effect upon us. So the Word of God is like fire. It can burn in your heart. It can burn in my heart. It burned in Jeremiah's heart, in the hearts of the early disciples. In that sense, it's like no other book, is it? We're not thinking about an ordinary book. You might love a particular author. You might enjoy their writings. But I don't think you would ever describe it in a way that you would say, their words are burning in my heart. It's only the Bible, it's only the Word of God, which has this effect upon people. That's one of the reasons why it's special. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord? Well, as I was thinking about that, I thought about a second thing that fire does. Fire doesn't just burn. Fire spreads. Fire spreads. I think there is a book on early church history called The Spreading Flame. And that's a good title, isn't it, for church history? Because fire spreads. Here's a great challenge for all of us. If the Word of God is burning in our hearts, it will spread to others. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, there are two big events coming up on Tuesday. One of them is the inauguration of a president in America. And the other one is, of course, the second leg of the semi-final between Manchester United and Derby. And at least three of my colleagues are going up to Manchester to watch that game. And you know, I think whatever the result is, they'll be talking about that match on Wednesday morning. And they'll be animated about it. They'll be talking about it excitedly. And if by any wonder of wonders, Derby either draw or win, I think they'll be talking about it for several weeks to come. They'll be animated about that. And you know, our friends and our neighbours and our colleagues, they get excited about certain things, whether it's sport, whether it's something else. They get excited about certain things. Are we excited about the Word of God, about the Gospel, about what we can read about in the Bible? When the shepherds found Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus lying in a manger, they were excited about it. When they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. They didn't need a training course how to tell people. The word was burning within them. They were excited. And they told others. What about us? What about us? What about me? Are we excited about the things that we know about the Lord Jesus? About forgiveness of sins? About the new life that we have? You know, somebody shared the message with you sometime in your life. Somebody encouraged you to go to church. Somebody helped you. Somebody showed you the Bible. And the fire spread from that person to you. And it would be a great shame. A great shame if you became the outer limits of the fire. If the fire within you burned low and the temperature dropped and the fire died down to such an extent that it never spread from you to another person. That would be a great shame, wouldn't it? How the Word of God needs to burn within us, needs to excite us so that the flame will spread to others. The spreading flame It's a very good title for church history. That's how it should be. As Christians gossip the gospel, as they tell others about the things that God has done for them. So the Lord said, my word is a fire. It can burn within your heart. It can burn within my heart. Will it spread to others? Will it spread to others? Is it a growing fire? Well, there was a second thing, wasn't there, in that verse in Jeremiah? Jeremiah 23, verse 29. Another quality, another way of thinking about the word of God. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer. Like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. And the Bible is like a hammer. I brought one with us to show us. It's like a hammer. This is one way that God describes the Bible. And so it's useful for us to think about what can this mean. Well, what can I use a hammer for? There's a clue in the verse, isn't there? It's like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. So the word of God can break things up. It can break things up. What can it break up? What can it break up? It can break up my pride. It can break up my resistance to God's will and commands. It can break up my stubbornness, selfishness, envy, and gratefulness. It can break up people's hearts, can't it? It can break a hard heart and soften it to the word of God. Let me give you an example of how it can work. When I was 19, I read through the book of Job from beginning to end. And it was the first time I'd ever read the whole of the book of Job, right through. And when I read the last few chapters of Job, the questions that God asked Job came to me like hammer blows. They came to me like hammer blows. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. And down came the hammer on my pride. Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place? There was another hammer blow. Can you lift up your voice to the clouds? Then an abundance of water may cover you. Can you send out lightnings that they may go and say to you, here we are? And these were hammer blows coming down upon me. And I would describe that experience as physically reeling from the word of God, as having the stuffing knocked out of me. And that's what the word of God can do to us. It can do that to us at the beginning, when we become a Christian. But surely we need that ongoing work within our hearts. Even as Christians, we need to be broken up by the Word of God. Our pride needs to be smashed up. Our selfish ambitions need to be crushed. Our sense of self-importance needs to be broken down. So as we think about the Bible being like a hammer, we can pray sometimes, can't we? Lord, please use the hammer of your word to break down all those things, all those wrong attitudes in my heart, all those things which are wrong, my resistance to do your will, my stubbornness, my pride. Break it down by your word. One of God's chief complaints about the Israelites were that they were a stiff-necked people. And that means that they were stubborn. And that they were rebellious. They were stiff-necked. And you know, God had to break them down. Had to break them down. We must pray that the hammer of God's word will deal with any stubbornness in us. As we think about a hammer, we can think that the damage that it does depends on the ability of the person who uses it and on their strength. If I gave this hammer to a child, they could probably do some damage, maybe to themselves, maybe some damage. But to a fully grown adult, to a strong man, he could probably smash up this pulpit. He could do a lot of damage with a hammer. So it partly depends upon who's using it, doesn't it? Who wields this hammer, this word of God? Who uses it? Well, it's God the Holy Spirit. It's God the Holy Spirit. He's all powerful. And he can take the word and he can use it in the most amazing and the most powerful way, in an irresistible way. And that's why the hardest of hearts can be broken by the word of God coming down on him like a hammer. Think of Saul. Saul, so proud, so educated, so religious, so self-confident, so self-righteous, so convinced he was doing the right thing in persecuting the first Christians. And there he was consenting to the brutal stoning, to death of Stephen, consenting to it. There he was forcing his way into the houses of Christians, dragging them out and committing them to prison. There he was making havoc of the church. There he was breathing threats and murder against the disciples, and on his own initiative, asking for letters from the high priest to give him authority to go to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any Christians there, he could arrest them and bring them bound to Jerusalem, whether they were men or women. And then the word of God came to him, didn't it? That's what we read in Acts chapter 9. If you look there at Acts chapter 9, and verse 3, as he went to Damascus, suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Down came the hammer. And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." And down came another hammer blow. And so he, the one who was so confident, so proud, so convinced he was right, so he, trembling and astonished, he's been broken by the hammer. Broken by an almighty hammer blow. You see, the hammer of God's word can break the hardest of hearts, can't it? Can break the hardest of hearts. One of the first blows the hammer of God's word often brings is a blow to knock out a person's confidence. To knock out their confidence. It will humble them. It will put doubts in their minds about their own self-righteousness. What a remarkable transformation in the life of Saul. See how the early disciples feared him. Ananias was honest with God, wasn't he? He was honest with God about his fears. "Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem." And you know, those early Christians, they needed Barnabas to persuade them to meet Saul. He was so feared. He was so feared. Could God really change him? Could God really change a man like Saul? Well, he did. He did. He did it with his word. What a powerful tool. What a powerful tool it is. Do we believe in it? Do we trust in it? Well, thinking about this hammer, we can say that not only is it going to break something in pieces, that's one use, it does have another use. It can be used in a constructive way. And it can be used in a constructive way. For example, to hit a nail into two pieces of wood, to hold them together. And so God can use his word in a similar way for a specific purpose. It's another use of the hammer. Let me give you an example of what I mean. You're a Christian and you're seeking to follow God and obey him. And you're in church listening to a sermon. And there's one point of the sermon or one verse or even one line of the hymn, and it comes to you and it hits you and it cuts deep into you. And you know God is speaking to you. And then you're listening to another sermon or you're in another church. And the same point comes to you. And you see, God is using the hammer of his word to drive in a nail. There's a specific point, an action point, something God wants you to change, maybe something that must happen in your life. And God uses the hammer and he knocks in a nail, and then you're doing your daily readings, and it's the same nail, the same point, and it comes again, and God uses the hammer to put that nail into your life. And that's amazing, isn't it? What's happening? God the Holy Spirit using the word of God to put a nail into your life, to change something, maybe to repent of some sin, maybe to do something, to obey God in some way. And you know, God always uses it in a perfect way. If I try to use this to put a nail in, more often than not, the wood splinters, and it's not what it should be, and the end result can be worse than the beginning. But God is perfect in his use of the hammer. Exactly the right time, exactly the right place, exactly the right point in your life that needs to be changed. And it's God, isn't it? It's God using the hammer in a skillful way to change something in your life. God is the master craftsman. It's only God who can say, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish what I please every time. It shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." So in closing, do we love this book? Do we love this book? Can we admire some of its qualities? We think about it as being a tool in the hands of Almighty God. Can we see some of the different qualities that this book has? Does the word of God burn within us? Does it burn within us? Has it spread to others around us? Have we felt the hammer of God's word in our own lives, breaking up our pride, our self-confidence, our self-righteousness? Have we experienced God hammering a nail into our lives, putting a finger on one specific thing that's got to change? Are we listening to him? Are we obeying him? Well, may we thank God for his word. It's a unique book. It's a special book. No other book is like this book. No other book can be described in these ways. Do we thank God for it and praise him for it? Amen.